I don't suppose there are enough adjectives and verbiage and words to ever explain the greatness and the majesty of Christ enough. I'm glad that there have been people who have sure tried. And I'm glad they wrote songs and poetry and books. I'm glad people have a desire to explain or emphasize the greatness and the beauty of the Lord. My life, and perhaps yours, is richer because of that. It blesses us. It encourages us. It supports us in those times that we need support. It encourages us in those times we need encouragement. So I'm glad that there are many people in this world today, and there have been, who can do so many things that I can't do. You ever thought about that? I'm glad there's poets. I'm glad there's singers. I'm glad there's songwriters. I'm glad the Lord has divided among man a diversity of gifts. And I am satisfied with what little I have in the sense that it's mine. But I am also happy for what the Lord has given my fellow man. And I bask in that many times. And I go to that refuge many times to draw from someone else's well, draw from someone else's cup, drink from someone else's cup. So thank the Lord this morning for the diversity that is in Jesus Christ. And because of that diversity, you and me are better off. And if we were all one in the sense of one member, one talent, one ability, we would probably get a little bored with ourselves. I'm glad today for the diversity that's in Jesus Christ. A few Sundays back, maybe quite a few Sundays back now, the Lord impressed me with a few messages about concerning respect for the Lord in our worship services. We touched on various aspects, and I won't go back to those. Suffice it to say that respecting the presence of the Lord is vital to us coming together. Respecting the fact that Jesus Himself, through the Spirit and the Word, has agreed to meet where two or three are gathered. That's a call that you and me should be so thankful for and give it our full respect and our full attention. From the time we get here, from the time we leave, from our participation, our courtesies, and our freedom. And there's much more. The fact that we can worship God together, knowing that He has agreed to meet with us, is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Probably heaven is going to reveal how wonderful a lot of things in this life really are. But I believe the fact that Christ willing to commune with us and willing to enter into our assemblies together is one of the more wonderful things that we enjoy. And it's something that I believe as saints we covet and something we need, something we desperately want never to lose, because there's a groups of people who have formalities, but they do not have that special blessing of a visitation from the Lord. And we need to encourage that among ourselves. We need to lift up a great respect for the presence of God among us in our worship, public worship services. And that's what my burden is today. The public worship service. Again, having respect for the presence of the Lord. And that's probably an unending subject. Maybe from time to time the Lord will give me more. But this is how His thoughts came to me concerning that. I'd like to begin reading or consider something that happened over in Matthew, the 21st chapter. The Lord toward the first of the chapter, entered into Jerusalem for this final week or 10 days. And as he entered, it caused a great praise and a worship to God. Men, and we won't go into what they were thinking and all that, but men recognized in Jesus Christ something very, very special. I believe in their ignorance, they recognized something very, very necessary. And maybe they did not know how to articulate it, and maybe they did not know how to explain the prophecies of Isaiah and others, of the psalmist. And maybe they didn't entirely connect the two totally together. But there was something about the presence of God, Jesus Christ, that was offering to these poor people hope. And it caused them to be excited in their spirit and in their mind. And it caused them to heap upon Jesus Christ honor, praise, thanksgiving. Saw palms of victory laid there before the donkey, laying their cloak before him in recognition of his regal authority, of his holiness, and of his honor that they were bestowing upon him. And they were singing and praising God, hosannas. I think of another time when that hosannas were sung. It was by a heavenly multitude at the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. There is something then that excites the hope of man. There is something about a visitation of the divine that offers us something so much better than we have. A way of escape. A way of freedom. The good thing about going ask and having liberty to go before the regal king somewhere, or the queen, is they have authority to grant favors. They have authority to bestow blessings. They have authority to grant help. And when we have that opportunity, then we are ushered into the presence of the Holy One. And it is a time of praise. It is a time that there's an excitement about it. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, I know there's other sides to this, and we're talking about public worship right now. I know the Lord is everywhere, and He's with us in the darkest, brightest hours of the day. He's with us when we sleep, when we're... I know that. That's not the point. But a collection of the body of Christ is what we're talking about. And how, when Christ came into the city, there was praise and thanksgiving. I'd like to challenge us today in our praise, in our liberty, in our thanksgiving. And maybe the word is going to revolve around liberty more than anything. Because we don't believe in man rule. We don't believe in another person in the church dictating to another person in the church how they should worship and how they should come before the Lord. But at the same time, we can encourage the liberty and the freedom that we enjoy, that we're coming before the King. And the King is royal. The King has power. The King is glorious. The King is holy. The King has favors. The King has grace. The King has mercy. The King can bestow, and He does, gifts. And I have the right, because God Himself has extended through Jesus Christ the scepter of His righteousness Himself. Now I and you, we are excited because we can come boldly to the throne of grace. So these men, these ladies, they were excited. They were happy. Even in their ignorance, they knew something special was happening. You know, Satan is a thief, liar, robber, murderer, always has been. And, you know, thieves, unless they're something very deranged about them, they like to steal valuable things, precious things. The enemy, when they go into another's camp, they don't want to steal just anything, but they want to partake of the valuable things to decrease and lessen the power of the one they're encroaching on. I believe Satan would like to encroach on you and me. And I believe he'd like to encroach in our praise, our worship, our liberty. I believe he would like to encroach to the point that he would steal or rob or maybe weaken in some form or fashion. I'd like to think about that today. When you listen, and I'm sure some have, to old tapes, or when you listen to some, my sister Stice is converting many of them to CDs now. There's something about that is different. I don't believe it's the anointing of the Word, and I don't believe it's what's preached. And I don't believe it's the message that is preached. I think that message, that thing, is still going forth today. But you know what you hear, and I know we've touched on this a little bit already. Remember we had a sermon on Amen? But you know one thing you hear in those tapes? And this is the days before real good recording. So they were picking up background noise. Amen. Preach it, brother. You would hear praise in the background. Have you ever sat and listened to one of those and tried to pick out the voices of those back in the background? You heard a verbal agreement. You remember that? We heard in those, you hear in those tapes, and this is something that it wouldn't really bother me, I promise you. Speaking to the minister. I always enjoy preaching or delivering a message when Brother Leslie's in the congregation. Brother Leslie, he'll get a thought, and it always, to me, it always is fit in. Brother MacMillan will do that sometimes. But these are things that we just hear. Some of us can remember some of that. Some of us were around a little bit of that time. But you know what that says to me? They felt a liberty. They felt an excitement. And they felt a liberty to express themselves. And I want you to know something. This is in no way an admonishment. This is just a little thought I had about the gracious liberty we have in the Spirit of God. So I ask myself, I'm being very candid here. I don't believe the church has lost anything. But I wonder sometimes if maybe we've misplaced something. I'm good about misplacing things. And we have a little saying, and I know you heard it. It's probably wherever you left it. And you know what? We always find it there, where we left it, or where someone left it. I wonder if there's a possibility that time and circumstance, the cares of this life, sad events that have happened, apostasies that came up, have robbed us or have caused us to misplace a little something. The good thing about this liberty is God didn't clone us. He cloned us in the sense that we're to be the image of His Son, but He didn't clone us in making us all look exactly alike or act exactly alike. He didn't clone us and said everyone's got to do this on cue or whatever, but He gave the liberty to do whatever we felt led of in worship and respect to Him. So I'm not here to tell us how, but I really do want to promote liberty this morning. Liberty. Whom the Son hath set free is free. And not just free, but truly free, or indeed free. That means that we're free to worship Him in holiness and the beauty of holiness. Historically, I'm just giving some little thoughts that came to me right now. Historically, if you research the holiness movement, and wherever you want to begin, you'll find that the holiness movement, by and large, has been a spiritually animated movement. A movement, and I use that word movement for lack of anything else at the time. I know it's more than that. But the saints of God, and wherever they may have been scattered, and they are scattered even today, have been a people historically that had some real blessings from the Almighty, and they didn't want to contain it, but they wanted to express it. There have been and has been, and the Bible declares it, the liberty to do that. The liberty to do that. There's been times that has been abridged. There's been times the holiness movement has been put in a formal setting. It has been sometimes frowned on and has been, to some degree, edged out. I know of no concerted effort in the Evening Light Saints to edge that out, and I don't want to imply that at all. But I wonder sometimes, candidly, have we misplaced something? Something to think about. Liberty, something that people have died for in governments and in the church. We believe, the one thing that we truly believe, is that the Holy Spirit is the one who should and does direct our service. That is the key ingredient. I pray and I trust that what I'm saying today is directed by the Holy Ghost and based upon the Word of God and in the Spirit of God. Our songs that we call out, the prayer that we pray, who prays? Directed by the Holy Ghost. There are many groups who have formalized it to say, brother so-and-so pray, or sister so-and-so pray, announcing services days, weeks ahead of time. Most ministers have had messages changed on them that they thought maybe Monday they were going to preach next Sunday. And become next Sunday gets there, no, that's not what I want. I want something else, the Lord will say. We believe in that. If I were to ask you, what is the key ingredient to that? I'm going to answer that if I were answering the question. The key ingredient to Holy Spirit leadership is Holy Spirit-filled people. You can't have one without the other. I want to encourage us in liberty this morning in the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, not charisma. Well, there's some of us, we can just talk about anything. You could ask me a question and I could give you an opinion on it. That's the kind of fellow I am. It may be totally wrong, but I got some thoughts concerning that. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's my personality. I see humor in things. Things that maybe other people go, oh, me over. I can see a little bit of whisk of humor flirting through there somewhere. Others take life much more serious than I do in those terms. And I'm not saying it at all wrong. No, by any means. Thank the Lord for that. It's not for us then to demonstrate or be led by man. Because you know what I would do? I would give you my ideas and say, brother or sister, do it this way. And there may not be blessing number one in that. And God has got someone that's rather quiet, that He will inspire to deliver something from their pew, from the pulpit, from a song, that will cause the hearts of God's people to leap with joy. And then they sit down, and you don't hear anything from them for a little while. But that's God, see. That's the liberty we have. And I want to encourage, God wants to encourage that. Scripture, remember, to be directed of the Holy Spirit, I believe, requires Holy Spirit-filled people. Over in Psalms 119 and 105. 119 and 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank the Lord for that. This word in the Hebrew that is, we say lamp, and it does mean lamp. But it also means to glisten. Have you ever seen something glisten? Snow with the right reflection of the sun will glisten. Waves on the water will glisten in the moonlight. It's a reflection, and it gives off a beauty, gives off a sparkle, gives off a charm. It gives off something that captivates, and we look at it, the glistens of jewelry. He said there is a glistening in the Word of God. And I don't mean just what the preacher would say. I'm talking about the Word, Jesus Christ, the printed Word, the Word brought by the Holy Spirit. Why? What causes it to glisten? What causes it to become a light or a lamp? And I believe when I've considered it, those things that we consider the Word, the things that are of God, they shine with the splendor of the Lord. The Lord does not come down and say, okay, I'm going to take the pulpit. My name is Jesus Christ, and I have some things to say to you. But He comes and He anoints me and you. And He anoints His vessels. And those vessels can speak and sing and pray and lift up holy hands and clap and say amen. Those vessels have the liberty to demonstrate the glistening splendor of the Lord as it touches their life. Holy Spirit led people, resplendent in the love of God, able then to reflect outwardly, if they desire, if God so wills, what's happening on the inside. What's taking place down deep. That's not a formality. Someone may feel led in a special way one Sunday, and that's never to say that we're to go to them and say, well, you know, you really moved the crowd last Sunday. I want you to do that again. That's not what we're talking about. But as the Lord gives utterance, as the Lord gives that anointing, there is a glistening. There is a beauty that shines forth out of that, that I am convinced has never been duplicated by man. I've been to some concerts. This movement that pulled away from us quite some time ago. Have you ever listened to their singing? Now, folks, those folks can flat sing. But there's no spirit of humility. There's no spirit of a resplendent, glistening glow of the Lord. Super talented, though. Super talented. Man cannot in any way, form, shape, or fashion duplicate that splendor that belongs to God. It is its own light. It draws its light from no other source. It draws its being from no other source. It is self-existent. That light illuminates not from some nuclear reaction, but from the very presence of the Almighty One. Now, He has agreed to come and meet with us. Respect that. Honor that. Yield to that. Submit to that. Be free in that. Aren't you glad He's willing to do that? I think about the words of the Bible and the words of God. They are in their beauty and their light. They're rays of hope. They're rays of hope. Admonishments, correction, and reproof is Bible too. But anytime those are demonstrated, they also should have the gleam and the glisten and the glory of hope right along with them. You don't have to stay there. You're dead, lost, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. I offer you hope. You don't have to stay there. You can come out. to tell a sinner that a lake of fire is their judgment, that's Bible. But also that glimmer and great ray, I should say, not glimmer, of hope that there's a way to avoid that and there's a way out. So I think the Word of God preached, exhorted, sung, prayed, demonstrated, however, should offer one the reflection of the Almighty in it. And it should offer to those who are in the presence of it hope and joy and something maybe they don't have at that moment. Have you ever been challenged by a testimony and say, I don't have that? And I know them and they do. I want that in my experience. Hope. So I think today that it offers us the higher dimensions of the Lord. Something better. The Word is a foundation to us, both literal and Christ. It is the joy of the world. It is the joy of life. Over in 2 Peter now, I want to think about a little something here. Liberty is where we're talking about. Liberty in worship. Liberty in the presence of the Lord. Liberty. There were people who came and wanted to stifle the liberty of other people, and God said, Jesus said, don't do that. There were people who wanted to stone someone, and Jesus said, don't do that. The Lord respects us enough to give us the liberty to serve Him and worship Him. In 2 Peter 1 and 19, speaking more about the Word, 1 and 19 of 2 Peter, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart, in your hearts. My thought is this, we do well to pay heed to the Word of God. We do well to model ourselves after the Word of God. We do well to receive the correction of the Word of God. We do well to accept the promises of the Word of God. We do well to embrace the truth of the Word of God. We do well to embrace the liberty, the freedom of the Word of God. Freedom from sin, first and foremost, I believe. But freedom to worship. Freedom to let our light shine. Freedom to reflect to others what God is doing for me. In whatever dimension. Whatever dimension. Please, understand that. I don't even believe in cloning. So I wouldn't try to clone a congregation. Wouldn't know where to begin. And I'd make a fool of myself. And shambles of the effort. But I can tell you that you've got the right to pursue Christ in all His glory, all His beauty, all His strength, all of His Spirit. You've got, you and me have given to us the ray, the glistening Word of God, that we can allow it to have total right away. And we do well to hear that and take heed to that. It's a light, he said, that shines in a dark place. You know, saints, we're not trying to say saints are sinners. But I want to tell you something. Ignorance is darkness also. Ignorance does not have to be sin. But ignorance can be below the birthright, below the possibility. Ignorance can have us down here when we could be up here. Not because we're sinners, but because I don't understand, or I've been intimidated, or for some reason I've got a thought that's holding me back. You see what I mean? The light brings us out. It illuminates. It illuminates sin. Thank God. It illuminates error. Thank God. It illuminates ignorance. It illuminates places that I could be better. You did good, but I have somewhat against you, he told him. There's some things I want you to still work on. May the Lord help us. God in His mercy translated us out of the kingdom of darkness. So we're no longer, saints are no longer in darkness in that sense. Lord, help us to be free in the Spirit. And if we some way or another have misplaced that, let's be challenged. May I tell you a little quick story? It was funny to me after the fact. I have a little fishing boat. And a couple of Sundays ago when it rained, but I had been fishing that Saturday or Friday. I left the boat outside, and of course the boat got wet. Didn't cover it because I was planning on washing it. So the Lord washed the boat for me. But I hadn't taken my bait, my tackle box, my little bag, and the life jackets. They were all in there. So I take all that stuff out of the boat, take it in my shop, and put it on a big table I got there, work table, and I put a fan blowing on it. So it all dried out, and I said, okay, I'm going to put it all back in my tackle box. And I kept missing something, and I kept missing something. I said, well, I know I just bought this the other day. I had my plug on my boat had stripped, and so I bought a new plug, and I couldn't find my new plug. And I knew the bag I'd bought it and put it in and all that. And folks, I looked for that for about 4 days. And I was really getting to think I was going crazy or losing my mind. I'm serious. I thought, have I lost it? And I said, no, I know I bought it, and I know I left it on that table. So last Sunday, after church, driving home, I said, I am going. It had to be in the shop. If I really bought it, it had to be in that shop somewhere. I said, well, maybe I've thrown it away in some trash. I had made me a list of things I was missing. Couldn't find them. One of them was the top of a tin about this square. I thought, you can't lose the top of a tin. It's shiny, got red on it now. I went out to my shop last Sunday before I changed clothes or anything. I said, I am going to prove to myself it's not in that shop. Well, finally I found it. I was on the far side of the little building to where it should have been. I thought, well, maybe the fan picked it up and blew it over there. I looked over there and a piece of woodworking equipment. I looked and there was that tin. And I thought, now I know I didn't put it there. I went over there and I kind of looked and it had tried to jump up in that woodworking equipment this tin had, but it couldn't make it. But there was pieces of wood, and I looked, and I pulled, and there was my gloves, my little rubber gloves that I get to fish with. There my gloves were. So Kurt was there, and we pulled that piece of woodworking machinery out and turned it over. It had, and I'm not exaggerating, 12 and a half gallons of corn in it. And all the fishing stuff I had lost. You ever heard of a pack rat? Well, I want to tell you something. They're busy fellas. Everything I had lost was in that piece of... Well, I just lost that. But you look for it. You desire it. It may have been costly. And it perplexes you. May the Lord help us if we misplace something. Not to say, oh, well, I'll buy another. There's no other name given under heaven or earth whereby men must be saved. There's no Walmart dispensing salvation. You know that. There's no Walmart or Bass Pro Shop that you can go to and buy liberty. You can't do that. There's no place that we can go except back to the source of life itself. That's that light that came down from heaven. And His life was the light of men. The light of every one of us. Telling us that we're free, absolutely, positively free. Over in Colossians, I want to look at a scripture a moment, because he directs us toward our walk. And listen to what he said. Colossians 2 and 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As you have received this light and this word, so be possessed by it, or so be occupied with it. May the Lord help us and seeking out the liberty by which we've been made free, that we would walk in the light as He bestows that upon us. That we would walk in the Spirit, drawing from Him, receiving from Him, eating at His table, drinking from His fountain, enjoying the graces and the love and the freedoms and the gifts and the favor that He daily bestows upon every one of us. Let Him definitely become the life-giving essence. Looking to Him for our resources, looking to Him for our help, looking to Him for our worship service, looking to Him for the preacher, looking to Him for the song leading, look to Him for all the things we need. He is the source of our encouragement. Now we need to walk in Him. And Lord, help us to recognize that as we walk with Him, we also share with Him. And in sharing with Him, we share with others. But He speaks about something here that I think we need to understand. To me, there's nothing probably any more dangerous or boring or difficult than an unspiritual person trying to be spiritual. An unspiritual group trying to feed my soul. I think there is a very definite message right here in our pursuit of liberty and enjoying liberty, is that Jesus Christ, we be rooted and built up in Him. I said earlier that the prerequisite to me is that you and I have the Spirit of the Lord. We must, as saints of God, dig deep and be rooted and grounded in God. Now, that doesn't mean that someone newly saved cannot praise God. By all means, I don't mean that. But having Christ as the foundation and the focal point of who we are, of our experience, and of our praise. Having Him to be the one that directs it. He the one that anoints it. He the one that we draw from. I think sometimes in our looking for something we lost, we need, or something we've misplaced, we need to look at our own carelessness perhaps. Did I just come in and throw the keys over to one side? Did I just not even pay attention to what I was doing? Did I lose an interest in the valuableness of it? Did the cares of this life cause me to hurry through that? Not spend the diligent time I need to be one with God and close with God? And I'll say, let someone else do that for me. Someone else will do the praying. Someone else will lift up holy hands. Someone else will say amen to the preacher. Someone else will say, that scripture's found in so and so. Brother, have you considered this? Someone else will call the song. Someone else will get up and testify. But for me, I'm a little busy. I've got these things I got to do. Could it be part of our, if we have misplaced something that I believe is valuable? Could it be that we just weren't rooted and grounded and didn't give the tremendous amount of time and attention that it deserves? Not that it requires so much, but it deserves. Lord, help us. I preach and talk to myself now. His Spirit, and this is very important, reigning in us. Now, someone that reigns has authority. Someone that reigns has the power to govern. To some, the centurion had it right. He said, I'm a man under authority. And I say, go and he goes, come and he comes. All you've got to do, Jesus, is speak the word. And the Lord marveled at that. See, they both understood authority. We need to understand the authority of the Lord. And come and let Him reign in us. If someone is reigning over someone with total authority, and you say to that, or they say to you, or that other person, they say, go do such and such. Well, that person better not make a habit at least, better not say, "Sure, King, let me, I don't really think we ought to do it that way. You know me, I'm not very good at riding a horse, and I've got to ride a horse to do that. Now maybe you ought to get Joe to do it." You know, that person wouldn't last very long, would they? They'd probably get out of the court anyway. Allowing total authority to God in our heart. Then we're able to follow Him. Then we're able. Over in John, the fourth chapter, I would say what Jesus or what God is seeking is rather important. Listen to what He said here. John 4:23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Very important. God is seeking you and me to worship Him with our spirit. He's not worshiped with men's hands. And His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He wants to possess our spirit. He wants to lead our spirit. He wants to have jurisdiction with our spirit. He wants our spirit to respond to His spirit. He wants our spirit to be led of Him and animate us in the way He wants us to be animated. So, if we're going to worship the Lord, He's seeking people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's what it's going to take to please Him. It's not going to take a glib tongue. It's not going to be an orchestra that gets all the notes right. It's not going to be a fleshly group coming together and causing the group to leave giddy and happy or quote unquote blessed in some way. It's going to take men and women spiritually worshiping the Father. And He has given us the liberty. He has given us the grace to do that. He said in truth, or the word truth here, part of the definition could be this. That He's the true worshiper. That which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. Lord, help us as Christians to have that true nature. That's who He's seeking. Men and women that have been called out of sin, men and women that are happy, glorifying God in their salvation, that have the Spirit of the Holy One reigning in their spirit, occupying their spirit, dictating theirs to them, ruling, reigning, the authority of His Spirit, reigning in our spirit, and giving us power to become sons of God. Freedom. Freedom to worship the Lord. Freedom to come boldly to the throne of grace. Freedom to take our gift and pour it out on the altar. Freedom to be rooted and grounded in the truth. Freedom to know in whom we've believed. Have confidence in Him. Freedom not to misplace something very valuable and essential. Freedom to come before the Lord and know that our prayers and our worship are accepted to Him and being led entirely by Him. The true nature, the real nature of it all. I'd like to begin to close now in Second Corinthians. And pick up a few verses as we go through the 12th chapter. I think it's some lessons here. Freedom. Praise God for it. Second Corinthians. I'll get there in a moment. Let's see, I want 1 Corinthians. That's the reason I can't find it. 1 Corinthians 12:4. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." We want to always, always, always remember this. Diversity. But it always comes in the church by spiritual people being led by God. It always comes from the same source. The glistening, the reflection will always glorify God, but it will be diverse in its demonstration. It will be diverse in how it displays itself. And again, the word clone comes to my mind. We're not trying to clone. First of all, I can't. Second of all, it's not right to even try. But we are trying to express the diversity of it, and the diversity of the gifts come from the Spirit of God, or come from God. Therefore, it's His gift to begin with. So now there's a diversity. Seventh verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. This expression, the manifestation of the gift, the exhibit or the exhibition of the gift, the manifestation of the Spirit leading me and you, directing us in our public worship service, the manifestation or the bestowment, these are words that are synonymous here with manifestation, the bestowment of the gift upon us. It varies and there's a diversity. But in public worship, not only does it bring glory to God, but it is for the common good. Think about that now. God gives gifts in the worship service, especially, but in all the church, for the common good. So not only do I deprive, or you deprive oneself of a blessing, but we take from the common good. The common good is a little weaker when we don't enjoy the liberty and the diversity and the expression of our liberty. However that may be, the common good suffers. May I ask this as a thought to think on? Have we, as the people of God, suffered because there is perhaps a misplacement of the liberty of the Holy Ghost? I can't answer that for you. I've got my ideas, my thoughts. But the gift of the Lord is given to profit withal. Think about that. I don't want to rob from anyone. Over in Psalms 33:1, praise is comely or beautiful for the upright. Think about that scripture. Then the little question came to me, why? And here's the answer that came to me. Praise takes the focus off of me and puts it somewhere else. If I'm praising you for something you did, something you built, the pretty bouquet of flowers you assembled, I'm taking the emphasis off of me and I'm placing it on you. This world is consumed with focus on me. What I want and what I think and what feels good and what I don't want to do and what I want to do and how I was treated and etc. My rights and on and on. The church of God is Christ-centered. The church of Christ has eyes for the Lord. What do you want, Lord? How do you want it to be, Lord? Then when I begin to focus on Him and praise Him and worship Him and let the liberty He's given me release it out of my own self and focus on Him, praise then becomes something beautiful. Praise is enriching. Praise reminds me of who I am and the graces bestowed upon me and that I am before the King, and the King is my Father. And He is abounding to me in His riches and His love. It takes the focus off of selfishness and places it on the object of our praise. Did you know some there are people in the world who can't praise anybody because they feel jealous? They can't praise anybody because they think, well, They'll think I can't do anything. You know, it's a free person that can offer accolades and praise to someone else for a job well done. It's a sign of maturity. Christ wants us to grow up. Christ wants us to be able to praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him as we assemble ourselves together. 13th verse of that 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. We've all been immersed, the saints have, in the same Spirit. So really and truly, what comes out of you, what comes out of you, what comes out of me, if it's of the same Spirit, it won't be foreign, folks. It might be novel in that, I had never thought of that before, but praise God, it's the truth. Or praise God how He's blessing. Praise God how He's working. I never thought of it that way. But it witnesses within me, it's the same Spirit. Oh, thank God today for that. For the liberty wherein we have been set free. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. Here's the scripture we've been alluding to. Been mentioning. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. 3 and 17 of 2 Corinthians. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. My little message today is on liberty. Consider, have we misplaced it some way? I'm not charging you. I'm one of you. I'm not above anyone at all. I'm subject to fears and intimidations. We all are. I'm subject to ruts. Yeah. I don't like to think of myself as being that because I'm kind of, I don't know that I have real strong habits, but I'm sure all I know I do. But I know that, you know, I can get up in the morning at 9 o'clock or 6 o'clock. You know, I don't have a, but we can be subject to ruts. Not out of maliciousness, not that we've backslidden. Just subject to it. God wants to say, get up and get out and go forth. You're set free. I'd like to consider, have we misplaced something in our worship service? And I conclude that I am right here with you, and I am no statue of how it ought to be. Paul found about himself of being the least, and I feel that way so many times. But I know this, the church of God is supposed to reflect the glisten of the glow of Jesus Christ and the Spirit within us. For your consideration, I want to stop here at this point with these little thoughts of consideration. Consideration of the need and the necessity of being filled with the Spirit of God. For your consideration, to have a desire and a burden for the worship service. For your consideration, that you and me would have as our focal point pleasing God as the focus of our life. Thankful and humble in our salvation. Willing to be used of God as He directs, letting myself go. Not being afraid to be free in the Spirit for your consideration. Zealous to show the love of God. Take all of this right now, and it can branch out. Take this in context of us meeting together. That's where I'm offering it. Zealous to show the love of God. every joint taking responsibility. That doesn't mean that anyone dictates to the joint. That means every joint takes their measure of responsibility. Not just once a year, but every Sunday, every time we meet. And it may not be the Lord wants to take you and say, pray, or lead, or sing a song, or praise God, or lift up holy hands. I think, depending on what you're talking about, some of those would probably be more demonstrated than others on a routine basis. But they all should be there, having the liberty. Supplying to measure up to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, I love God. And I could tell you some scary stories about me a long time ago. So I know that God brought me out of a dark place. And I feel like maybe, I'll just be candid. I feel like I've misplaced some of the very thing that I'm talking about today. But the good news is I don't have to keep on losing it and doing without it. That's the good thing about God. If you come up short on something, whatever, that doesn't mean you got to go the rest of your life without it. That means say, Lord, you're right. I've lost it, or I didn't have it. I need it. And He bountifully supplies. So remember this. God has given us His Holy Ghost. And where that Spirit is, there's liberty. So let's consider this. In our public worship of the Lord, let's concentrate to have a deep respect for the presence of the Lord. And one way is, one, to be a possessor of the Holy Spirit. Two is submitting ourselves to the leadership of that Holy Spirit. You pray for me.